Hello, it's Christine. I'm sitting in the nursery of Gawthorpe Hall because I've got a fairy tale to tell you. Well, not quite a fairy tale, it's sort of. Now, I'm sitting with Martin Holtby, who works with me here at Gawthorpe. He's another volunteer and does an awful lot of work for the National Trust and the Friends of Gawthorpe. Am I right, Martin?
Yes, I do, yes.
And we're very grateful. In fact, there's even a certificate on the wall from Lancashire County Council in this nursery. The nursery is now an office, obviously. This is a certificate to say thank you very much, Martin, for all the volunteering that you do through the year. Right. Once upon a time, there was...
Well, the family that came home and found Goldilocks and the three bears in their beds.
You came home from where?
We'd been, Pat and I are the excursion committee of our local association of National Trust members. And we'd been down for 5 days to Hereford, looking around National Trust properties there and looking at Hereford and thoroughly enjoying ourselves. We set off very early on the Thursday morning to go over and pick the coach up, because we wanted to be on the coach first before we picked the members up. And we'd had a quick breakfast before we went, and I'd washed up, so everything was clear in the kitchen. So we set off. Our members enjoyed the holiday. And we came back on the Monday evening, and unfortunately, we got a little bit delayed by traffic on the M6. And by the time we'd dropped off the members near their homes and then gone back with the coach and the driver to the garage to pick my own car up and drive home, it was about 25 past 10 when we got home.
So you were late, it was tired.
Tired, yes.
Tired, you'd had a horrible journey by the sound of it on the M6. Yes. You've also had the full responsibility of the holiday, haven't you?
Well, exactly, yes. Except for the short times we were asleep at night, we feel responsible for making sure that...
Well, you are.
There were about 40, 43 of us all together. So, I mean, we...
So a very popular excursion,
yes.
Martin. Well done.
Yes, yes.
Well done.
We got home.
Ready for a cup of tea, yeah, and well, early bed.
Yeah. Yes, get to bed and get in. Now, when we come home, if Pat and I have been away, we don't bother to stop the newspapers. When we come home, we normally have to push the door open and push the papers out of the way and then climb over the pile of papers. And surprise, surprise, no papers, no post on the doormat. And I didn't sort of, you know, my first thought was, well, how peculiar, the postman and the newspaper boy have both given up on us at the same time. How odd, what a coincidence. I didn't realise until I got further in, the papers and the post were neatly piled, not just dropped on the floor, neatly piled on a table at the side of the hall. Somebody must have been in and picked them up. How kind of them. Well, but nobody's got a key. We couldn't understand it at all. And yes, we were quite tired. Not thinking very clearly. Went into the kitchen and I saw some plates in the drain on the kitchen that had been washed up. One plate that an orange enamel plate, which we actually never use. It's there, it looks very nice, but we never use it. And that was there draining. Well, that's odd. Whoever's been in has made themselves a meal and been eating and washing up. No sign of the doors. Both doors were locked, deadlocked. He couldn't have got in or out by the doors. Couldn't see any broken window or anything. Couldn't understand what had happened. And then neither of us smoke, and we don't like the smell of cigarette smoke. And I just got a slight whiff of cigarette smoke, and I thought, "Oops, that's odd." Somebody's not only been in the house, but been smoking. So I went upstairs And I carry, like every schoolboy should, I carry a small maglite torch in my trouser pocket. And I can't remember what it was now, but I'd got it out of my pocket to look at something when I went into the house. And I was still carrying it in my hand. Oh, and yes, the safety regulations at Nelson Bus Station, where we dropped off some of our members, some of our friends, the safety regulations there are that anybody unloading luggage from a coach or bus must wear a yellow high-vis vest. So I put mine on and not bothered to take it off. Still, I thought, I'll carry it home on my shoulders, as it were. So I was wearing that. I went upstairs, went into my bedroom, because I sort of sensed that the smoke was stronger in the bedroom. Went into the bedroom and found, well, Goldilocks asleep in our bed.
Come on, did you say, who's been sleeping in my bed?
Well, I didn't say it, but I certainly thought it. And I thought, well, So I tapped him gently on the head with my torch. I tapped him with the light end so that it wouldn't hurt him. He took him a moment, so he was obviously deeply asleep. Took him a moment, so to wake up. And I said to him, how long have you been here? And he said in very broken English, poor English, oh, 1 month. And I thought, well, he hasn't. But that I realised, was how long he'd been in England. So I then shouted at him to stay where he was. And I called down to Pat to phone the police. And he just lay still there until the police came. And the police peeled the duvet back, grabbed his hands, put the handcuffs on him, and then got him up off the bed. Down into the car and off to the police station. His suitcase was there. In the kitchen, there was, in the fridge, there was a packet of chicken joints, one or two tubs of pot noodles and some pasta and things on the working top.
He'd really made himself at home.
Yes, yes. He'd actually, what had happened, he'd been working in Nelson at a furniture, bedding upholstery factory, living apparently in a shared house in Nelson with some other Polish men, possibly Polish men working at that same factory. They'd had a row, and thrown him out. I don't know what he'd done wrong, what he'd done to upset them. It wasn't because his housekeeping was no good, because he'd washed up himself, he was tidy. On the airing frame, his socks and underwear were hung up drying. He'd had a shower or a bath perhaps before he went to bed.
Very much at home.
Yes. He'd simply thought that there was nobody at home. Well, there wasn't, of course, and he'd I think wishful thinking. He thought the house was abandoned. Now our garden is. I'm not a plantsman at all. With the National Trust, I do quite a lot of conservation work, woodland management, and our garden is woodland. The good side of that is that we get a lot more birds in our garden, nesting in the garden, than in our neighbours' gardens. I mean, we've had a family of long-tailed tits, wrens, robins, blackbirds in the garden. Perhaps starlings nested
it
just
sounds just like my sort of garden.
Yes,
does
yes.
That? Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
It's a wildlife garden. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning, while I was washing up, I saw something just shoot past the kitchen window. And then I thought it looked like a sparrowhawk, but I didn't think it could be.
So it sounds as though your garden is a real haven for wildlife, just as you get in the fairy tales, because Goldilocks and the Three Bears, it was an isolated cottage, wasn't it? And, Goldilocks managed to get there.
I suppose we are isolated now in our own bit of woodland, yes.
So come on, what has the press made of this? Because well, you've just told me that you've had a quite a week.
Yes, Lukasz was taken off the police station, and the nicest, one of the nice things about it was that four police officers came in two cars. There was an intruder on the premises. It was one to deal with urgently, and one of the constables, Vanessa, very kindly, before we went down to the police station to give statements, she helped Pat change the bed linen, change the sheets, so that we could sleep in the bed when we came back, which is very, very helpful, very, very, very kind of her, and really, really beyond the call of duty. That was very nice. So we went down and gave statements. Lukasz was came up in the magistrate's court on the Wednesday. And he was remanded to the Crown Court. And I thought I couldn't go to the Magistrates' Court hearing. I was doing something else that day. I think I was in Gawthorpe, actually. But I found out when the Crown Court hearing was, and just out of interest, I thought I'd go. And the case was due for hearing on the 3rd of October, and I went. I was doing nothing else that day. And I was surprised to see two press photographers sort of hovering outside the court, and I thought, is there some famous personality going to come up in court today? They obviously weren't looking for me, and I got inside, and after I'd inquired when this case was coming up, a lady who'd been seen in the sort of outside the court, outside the Crown Court, came forward to me, realised that I was the victim, as it were, in this case, and she was the reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. She then introduced the two photographers. They were two freelance photographers, both of whom she knew, and they'd sort of picked up on this story. In fact, it didn't come to trial that day. It was postponed for more reports or something. It didn't come up in court until last Friday, and by chance, I was away last Friday, so I couldn't go to the hearing. And when I came home on the Sunday night, I thought, tomorrow I'll find out what's happened. During the day, I went out to do some shopping. We went into Sainsbury's in Burnley, and I was very surprised.
Headline!
Yes, that I saw the Lancashire Telegraph placard by the newspaper store in Sainsbury's.
What did it say?
It reads... took a photograph of it. It reads, Goldilocks burglar caught in bed. And I thought, oh gosh, that must be our case. So I bought the paper and found out what had happened to him.
And of course, the people who are listening to our tape here don't get the Lancashire News. We get the Yorkshire News.
Yes.
So I only came across it because I came across it in the Times newspaper.
Yes.
And you said that you'd been interviewed by Radio Ulster. Was it Radio Ulster?
Yes.
So where else were you?
On the Tuesday, the day after, I didn't get up awfully early. I was a bit lazy that day. Made a cup of tea and took the papers up and went back to bed. And I opened the third page of the Times, which, Pat likes the Times, so we take that. And I was faced by my photograph on page 3, which startled me. Quite a large item about it. And I thought, I wonder why the Times has got hold of this. 8 o'clock came, just after 8 o'clock. The phone rang, phone by the bedside. I answered it. And it was Mr. Dearden from the BBC at Media City, Salford. He was the sort of producer or coordinate, whatever he was, for Radio 5 Live, which goes out from Salford.
He wanted the story.
He wanted the story, yes.
Who else wanted?
So he arranged a taxi to pick me up at 10 and pick me up at 10 o'clock and take me to the Radio Lancashire studio at Blackburn. And so I sort of got up and made breakfast, by which time I'd had another phone call. BBC Three Counties Radio, that's Oxfordshire, Bedfordshire and Hertfordshire, asked if I'd do a story for them. And then I was getting ready to go out to Blackburn, waiting for the taxi, when a knock at the door, and it was in fact Peter Marshall, who was the one of the reporters for BBC Northwest Tonight, Northwest News. And I said, "Oh, hello." I said, "It's a long time since we've met." And he said, "Oh, Peter Marshall, BBC." I said, "Yeah, yes." I said, "It's a long time since we met. We both got the first tram when the Metrolink trams started 22 years ago from Bury to Victoria Station, Manchester. The BBC cameras and that were on the first tram. And being a little bit of a nerd, and having remembered the old Salford trams when I was a small child, I thought I'd get up and be at 6 o'clock and go. So I'd actually met him there, yeah. And I was filmed getting off at Victoria.
So, right, so you were sort of meeting people that you've met.
So he said, well, he'd be he'd interviewed my half Pat. He interviewed and photographed her. And then he said he'd have to go down to Blackburn to email the pictures to Salford, and he'd bring me back, and then he could film me. So I was put in a little studio at Radio Blackburn. The first time ever in my life I've taken a selfie of myself. I carry on my belt.
Well done, Matt.
A little digital camera.
You also had to put up with me ambushing you on the stairs, Martin, because it was such a good story. Our listeners are really going to enjoy this. How does it end? Because most fairy tales finish with "and they lived happily ever after." But before that, just slightly before that, what did you and Pat do?
Well, of course, Lucas had brought his food with him. And when he was taken off to the police station, he didn't take it with him. We had some chicken joints that he'd left in the fridge for us. We kept the spaghetti, the pasta, and the pasta sauce. The pot noodles, we gave those to a food bank. We're not into pot noodles. We had a nice little meal the following day, and we thought about him in his cell in Burnley Police Station.
Brilliant. So, after a chicken feast, they all lived happily ever after, and that's the end of the fairy tale of Goldilocks, or Martin, and his intruder.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Martin. Bye-bye from Christine.
Hope you enjoy it. Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.